Good morning.
Good morning.
As I get older, my hearing at times fails me, and I heard about a ladies' exercise class, but I didn't hear anything about the men's. Was that myth? Oh, perfect. Seems that the ladies, a lot of them don't need it, and the men who need it, it's like football games. You know, the people who ought to be playing are watching, and the people who are in good shape are out there playing. It's interesting that Norm should pick that last hymn, Shepherd, Lord, like a shepherd, lead us, because this morning I would like to draw our attention to the 23rd Psalm. And you could just hold your spot there, and there's no need to turn. I just want to read you some other verses before we begin, just some brief considerations of this well-known passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." When praying to his Father, he said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." This morning, earlier, it was brought to our attention that we have a living hope. We have a certainty of glory. If we were to turn to the 5th chapter of Romans, we would see that it begins with the fact that we have a new standing in Christ. We have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus. We have a standing in grace, in God's favor. We are brought into that standing by faith in the Lord Jesus. And it says, and we can glory. We have a hope. And we can glory in that hope of being with God forever. Then Paul, through the Holy Spirit, goes on to remind us that between the time we begin that journey, heading home toward glory, and the time when we will be with the Lord, as he said we will be, there is a wilderness. There are trials. There are tribulations. There are distresses. There are dark days. There are enemies. And as such, we need a shepherd. The Lord Jesus, looking at Israel, was touched. He said, "They are as sheep without a shepherd." And how horrible it is to be sheep without a shepherd, to be left to yourself. No one caring, no one watching, no one guiding, no one protecting. And he saw this nation wandering, open to all the attacks of the adversary. No shepherd. And of course, they had rejected their shepherd, the Lord Jesus himself. Let's just now look at this 23rd Psalm together, and let's read it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a well-known psalm. In fact, as we read it, you probably didn't need to even look at the page. It probably came to your memory. And we know it will. It's been called the Universal Psalm. We find it in many, many places. We find it on cards, we find it on bookmarkers, we find it on walls, and we find it in various places. Even in the homes of many unsaved people, the psalm is hanging on the wall. It's known to many. It has been a comfort to many. Many who are in deep distress. Many who are going through dark waters. Many who have been in prison for their profession of Christ. Many who have been going through difficult times as a result of the loss of a loved one. And whatever the situation, this psalm has been a blessing to millions down through the years. It is a well-known psalm. It has been read by many bruised hearts, it's been said, and been a blessing to many who are on the beds of sickness. Luther saw this psalm as a nightingale. And he viewed it that way because he said, a nightingale is small amongst the bird kingdom, and it is homely. But he says it has a beautiful, thrilling melody. And I think as we read this, there is a melody to it, isn't there? There's a flow to it. It's clear that it came from a man whose heart was in touch with God. It is, of course, part of a triad of psalms. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. In Psalm 22, we have the Good Shepherd, as the Lord himself called himself, the Good Shepherd, giving his life for the sheep. And we know that it clearly depicts for us, prophetically, the suffering of the Lord Jesus. The time in which he who was holy was made sin and went through those horrible 3 hours of darkness and judgment and loneliness. And so we think of the Good Shepherd. He's the shepherd, unlike the hireling, who has no concern, has no interest, has no care, who flees. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the Lord Jesus has given his life for his sheep. I wonder this morning, as you sit here, do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know him as the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, for you personally? It's a wonderful thing to have a personal Savior. The Apostle Paul said, he loved me and gave himself for me. It's a wonderful thing to have a personal Savior and to know your sins forgiven and to have a right relationship with God because of the work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary. And so we have the Good Shepherd. When we come to the 23rd Psalm, we have the Great Shepherd. Hebrews tells us about the one that God has raised from the dead, the Great Shepherd of the sheep. When we come to Psalm 23, the shepherd is a living shepherd. He is the Great Shepherd who guides the sheep. The Good Shepherd gave himself for the sheep. He died for the sheep. The Great Shepherd guides the sheep, and he is a living shepherd, a living Lord. When we come to the 24th Psalm, we have the glorious shepherd. We have the one who comes, the chief shepherd, as Peter refers to him in this 5th chapter of his first epistle. The chief shepherd, the glorious one, who will come and be known to be truly the Lord of lords and King of kings. In Psalm 22, we have the past work of the Lord Jesus. In Psalm 23, we have the present work of the Lord Jesus. And in Psalm 24, we have the future work as he comes and rules and reigns in righteousness in this world. In Psalm 22, we have the cross. In Psalm 23, we have the shepherd's crook. And in Psalm 24, we have the crown. And so it's part of this beautiful group of psalms that really give us a composite story of one who came down from the heights of glory to die as the good shepherd, but was raised again, ascended into heaven, and is a living Lord, a living shepherd, guiding his sheep homeward, and none of them will be lost. And then as that glorious one coming back, the chief shepherd, coming back to be known of all men, ruling and reigning in righteousness. David was a shepherd. He knew about shepherding. And he knew the importance of a shepherd. He knew that sheep needed a shepherd. It's been said, sheep are not swift. Sheep are not bright. But sheep are stupid. They are dumb animals. And it's no wonder that the Holy Spirit would select sheep to represent you and I, and me, and as we go through this world, we have a tendency to wander, don't we? In fact, sheep would self-destruct if left to themselves. They have no way of preserving themselves. In fact, they would eat themselves to the point where they would never move to another pasture, and they would starve to death, unless a shepherd would guide them from one pasture to another. They are helpless. They can't defend themselves. And so they need a shepherd. And David knew that well. He writes, however, not as a shepherd. He writes as a sheep. He views the Lord from the perspective that he is a sheep and the Lord is his shepherd. And of course, he understood how wonderful a thing that was to have the Lord as your shepherd. Let me ask this morning another question. Do you know the Lord as your personal shepherd? So often we are taken up with the Lord, and we can understand why, as our personal Savior. But we forget the wonderful fact that not only is He our personal Savior, He is our personal shepherd, who's living, who's guiding us homeward, who will lose none of the sheep, who will see us all home to glory. We have a wonderful Savior, and we have a wonderful shepherd. And as already been remarked today, we have one who's living and ever interceding for us, ever caring, ever watching, ever guiding. When you look at this psalm, it's actually interestingly broken into two sections. The first three verses, David describes his shepherd. The shepherd is identified in verse 1. And the first half there, 1 through 3, you'll notice as he speaks, he talks about the shepherd. He tells us what his shepherd does. But when you come to the fourth verse and the fifth verse, he speaks to the shepherd. Not about the shepherd, but he speaks to the shepherd. In verse 1, he identifies him. He says, "He, the Lord, is my shepherd." The Lord himself said this. He said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine." You know the Lord this morning as your shepherd. Of course, it's imperative that you know him first as your Savior. In verses 2 and 3, the shepherd is described. He tells of his care and provision. And in verses 4 to 6, he is addressed. He speaks to the Lord. When we look at this opening phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is, of course, something that we could read in a variety of ways. We could put an emphasis on almost every word and thereby change the perspective from which we could look at this verse. We could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Have you ever stopped to really ponder and wonder and marvel that the Lord is your shepherd? Who is the Lord? The word here is Jehovah, the ever-existent one. Think about it. Those of us who know the Lord as our Savior and have this personal shepherd have the ever-existent Lord as our guide, protector, and shepherd. The one who was from everlasting and will be forever. The Almighty God who spoke and brought the worlds into being. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who knows every hair of our head. The one who knows every aspect about us. In fact, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He, the Lord, David said, is my shepherd. We could say the Lord is my shepherd. Present tense. Present continuous. Not that the Lord was or the Lord will be, but the Lord is. At this very moment, the Lord is shepherding you. The Lord is caring for you. It's a continuous thing, moment by moment. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Lord doesn't slumber or sleep. The Lord doesn't take breaks. The Lord is continually shepherding us, even at this moment. The Lord is my shepherd. Now it's personal. It's one thing to say the Lord is a shepherd, but it's a far more glorious thing to say the Lord is my shepherd. Have you ever pondered that? Have you ever rejoiced in it? That the Lord is your personal shepherd. If you know Him as your Savior, He is your shepherd. He's yours. It's individual. The Lord is not just the shepherd of some mass of sheep. And but you're just a number. No, He's your personal shepherd. David could say, He is my shepherd. Then we could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And all that's involved in shepherding. The caring, the feeding, the protecting, the guiding, the directing. All that's involved in taking care of sheep. That's what the Lord was to David. David knew what was involved in taking care of sheep. He knew the work. He knew the importance. And everything he was to his sheep, he says, the Lord is to me, and of course much more. He's my guide. He's my protector, my provider. And to those who provide oversight to an assembly, there's the example of a shepherd. There is the chief shepherd. There is the perfect shepherd, ever watching. Remember what Paul said? He said to the saints in Thessalonica, basically, we were awake all night over you. That's shepherding. And that's the chief shepherd. And then there are the under shepherds. And the under shepherds are to emulate, are to mimic the chief shepherd in the care of the sheep. They are to protect, to guide. And if you are blessed with shepherds who are emulating the chief shepherd, who are giving themselves for the sheep, who are protecting, guiding, directing, feeding, doing all the work of shepherding, honor them. Count your blessings. For in far too many groups of the Lord's people, they are sheep without a shepherd. Wandering, no direction, no food, no protection. It's a real blessing to have those who will shepherd the sheep. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Brother Keller, who wrote a book from the viewpoint of a shepherd concerning this psalm, said, to think that God in Christ is deeply concerned about me as a particular person immediately gives great purpose an enormous meaning to my short sojourn upon this planet. Think that God is deeply concerned about each of us as an individual. We're not lost in the crowd. That's part of this world, isn't it? The world is kind of lost in the crowd. And there's no wonder that there's so much loneliness in the world. Not so for the Christian. We're not just part of the crowd. We have a personal, caring shepherd. And what a blessing that is. Think of the world outside of us today. Wandering. They have no home to which they're going. They have no shepherd. They don't know the Savior. They're in darkness. They're under the sway and rule of the adversary. They have nothing of any spiritual value to eat. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Paul says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because that is true, I shall not want." There'll be no lack. Because it is the Lord who is my shepherd, there will be no wanting. There'll be no lacking in my care, provision, and guidance. The Lord is perfect. Now, the under-shepherds are not perfect. But the chief shepherd is perfect. And there will be no lack in our spiritual guidance and care and protection and feeding because the Lord is our shepherd. And he says concerning this shepherd, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, much could be gleaned from this psalm. Much more than we could take in today or tonight or a variety of meetings. And much has been written and much has been said. But we can see here in this verse two thoughts. There is rest and there is peace. You see, sheep will not lie down, will not rest unless they are fully satisfied. Unless they have eaten, they will not rest. And the Lord Jesus gives rest. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, there are millions this morning. Millions this morning. Who are going through some sort of religious activity in an attempt to find rest. But they don't find it. They continually move. They're continually striving. And then there are those in the world who are constantly in a state of flux. They have no purpose in life. And they're beat around by circumstances. And they have no rest. Those of us who have the Lord as our shepherd, we can rest. We can come to a place where we realize that all has been done, we are right with God, and we can rest. But then again, there is the still waters. The waters of peace, others translate them. Peace, rest and peace. The Lord Jesus gives us those things that the world is clamoring for, rest and peace. And our shepherd provides them for us. Do we know the rest and the peace that our shepherd provides? Some have likened this to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. The pastures and our scriptures are pastures, ever green, ever fresh. Never a pasture that is eaten down to the roots and no longer can feed us. It's always a fresh pasture. And we can come and be full and be satisfied and rest. And then there's the waters of peace. Sheep will never drink from turbulent waters. And we can come to the Word of God with the Spirit of God, that inner life, that inner person who lives in us and gives us peace. You know, the world would want to rob us of this rest and this peace. And if we take our eyes off the shepherd, if we take our eyes off the one who wants to give us this rest and peace, then our hearts become anxious. But when we have our eyes on the shepherd, there is peace. He said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. He's a shepherd of peace. Remember, he stood on the boat with the disciples, a great storm over the sea, and he said, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It's a wonderful thing to have the shepherd in our life, to have a calm, a rest, and a peace that the world knows nothing about. It's a wonderful thing to see a Christian going through the dark waters, going through the difficult times, and having this rest and this peace that marks the sheep of the great shepherd. He says, he restoreth my soul. Those who know sheep speak about cast sheep, C-A-S-T, cast sheep. These are sheep who get turned upside down. These are sheep who are laying on their backs with their feet up toward the sky, and they are helpless and they are hopeless, and they do not have the ability to right themselves. They are stuck, as it were, in this position. And if there is no hope, there is no hope for them if the shepherd doesn't come and right them again. You see how weak and how prone we are. He says, he restoreth my soul. We can't restore it for ourselves. The shepherd restores it. Because there are too many times, unfortunately, in our lives, we become cast, downcast, helpless. But the shepherd never leaves us. The shepherd cares. The shepherd finds us. The shepherd knows. And he rights us. He restores us. It said there are three reasons why sheep become cast. One is they become fat. And as they lay down, because they're overweight per se, they roll over and they get into this cast position. Prosperity brings us to that place. We become cast. Then it's been said, too much wool. As the sheep lies down and there's so much wool, the wool crushes beneath them and they roll over and again they're cast. And wool is a picture of pride. Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then there's another reason. They lay down in a soft spot. And as a result, the ground gives way underneath them and they roll over again. They become cast and they're helpless. And if they stay in that position, they will die. Pleasure, prosperity, pride, pleasure. But we have a shepherd that restores us. One of the greatest things we wander from is the joy of the Lord. And one of the greatest things that the shepherd will restore to us is the joy of the Lord. Pride, prosperity, pleasure of this world all rob us. The joy of the Lord. But our shepherd comes. He rights us. He restores us. It's been said that the Christian pathway is really just a series of restorations. We have a restoring God. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus and you see restoration. A man puts out his hand. Scripture says, and he restored it. He takes a man who is lame and he restores him to his feet. Do we know the gracious restoration of the shepherd? Peter knew it. Peter knew it. And he said to Peter, when you've been converted, not from salvation, when you've been restored, then strengthen your brethren. It's a wonderful thing that we have a shepherd that restores us. And then he says, this shepherd, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. If you know the Lord this morning, a shepherd would take the ear of the sheep and identify the sheep. If you know the Lord this morning, you're one of His. And not one of His will be lost. The Father cares for His children. And the shepherd cares for his sheep. And there is that double protection of the Father caring for the children. And the shepherd caring for the sheep. And you are identified as one of His. And as such, He will lead us in the right path. You see, His name is at stake. His honor, His glory. The way we walk. You know, we bear His name. Where we go, what we say, the way we live. We bear His name. We all know that if our name is on something, we take a personal interest in it. It's one thing for a child to get hurt. It's another thing for my child to get hurt. And these sheep are His sheep. We bear His name. He knows us by name, He said. But we bear His name. And He leads us in the right path when we follow Him. You know why we get off onto the wrong path? Sheep have a way of wandering. They're going down a path and all the things on the side, you know, the grass always looks greener. And so they have a tendency to turn off and wander because they take their eye off the shepherd. Wherever the Lord leads, and if we follow, it is the right path. And there are many paths to righteousness. There's the path of obedience, the path of separation, the path of gentleness, the path of love. All of these are paths that He leads us down, and He says, follow Me. Peter says He has left us footprints, as it were, in the sand, that we are to follow the shepherd, and every time we follow the shepherd, we are on the right path. Think of the world around us. The blind are leading the blind. And they are sheep without a shepherd, are following many down the wrong path. We have a shepherd who's been here, who has walked the right path. And when He leads us and we keep our eye on Him and we follow, it is the right path. It's a path of blessing. And it's a path that we need to keep our eyes on the shepherd. And follow. And He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Time won't allow us to really develop this, but the world around us is marked by death. We are going through a scene of death. On every hand, there is death. But you know, it says here, it is the shadow of death to those who have the Lord as their shepherd. The shadow of a dog. No fear to us. The shadow of a sword can do us no harm. Death has been conquered. And the Lord says concerning His sheep, they shall never die. Can you fathom that? The Lord's sheep shall never die, He says. You know, the Lord has conquered death, and God sees us as already with Him in the glory, already at home. Death has no sting to us now, it says. In fact, what dies is the body, not the saint. The saint is with the Lord. You have experienced those loved ones here presently who have passed on to glory. They didn't die. Their body did. It's asleep in Christ. They are in glory. You see, where there's a shadow, there's light. And they pass from the scene where the shadow of death instantly into the light of His presence. What a wonderful thing to know. That our Savior lives, has conquered death, and we will be victorious over it in Him, and we will make it home to glory. And death will not overcome us. He says He is comforted by His presence, His power, His rod, and His staff, His personal care. But then he says, he prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. How much do we enjoy communion with God? A table is a place of communion. A table is where we sit and we converse one with another. How much do we know the enjoyment in the scene of our enemies all around us, the adversary, the principalities and powers, and yet we have the privilege of communicating, of spending time in His presence, fellowshipping. John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. How much do we enjoy the presence of the Lord and the privilege to communicate and to enjoy this table that He has set, filled with our blessings? How much do we sit and enjoy the things that are ours in Christ Jesus? Many times we become discouraged because we forget the blessings that are truly ours in Christ. We fail to come to the table. We fail to fellowship with the Lord. One brother has said this as I read it. The most fruitful source of spiritual declension is the neglect of the Word of God and of private devotion. How much do we know of the table that the Shepherd has set for us? That we come and we commune and we spend time with Him and we speak with Him and we feed on all that which He has accomplished and all that which we have, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And as we do, He says, Thou anointest my head with oil. There's a refreshment for the pathway. You know, sometimes we become downcast, discouraged. It's time when we do that to get alone with the Lord and begin to feast on our blessings. And there's refreshment. There's a refreshment by the Holy Spirit. And then our cup will run over. Do we know a cup that's overflowing with the joy of the Lord? Our brother said to us this morning when we began our remembrance feast of the Lord Jesus this morning, he said that Christians should be filled with joy. It's sad. But as I move from groups of Christians, one to another, quite often, there is no joy. And you know why? Because we have failed to sit at the table. We have failed to enjoy communion with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, spending time in His presence, partaking of all the blessings He has given us, being refreshed by the Holy Spirit, and then having that cup that overflows. I think of the man at the temple. It said he went leaping and running. Why? Because he was overflowing with the joy of the Lord. It won't happen unless we spend time. But the Shepherd has provided that for us. He has given us that table. And we need to come to it. We need to spend time with Him and to be refreshed. And to have a cup that overflows. As you look at the end of this psalm, there is a certainty. I will be with the Lord forever. It's been said, where we're born, we consider home. We're born from above. Heaven is our home. We're headed there. We started the journey. We have a Shepherd that will see to it that we are forever with Himself. We've rushed through this psalm, and as we are so familiar with it, unfortunately at times, we lose our appreciation for it. Go back and read it. Go back and be refreshed. Read it again. Enjoy the wonderful truth. If you know the Lord is your personal Savior, you have a personal Shepherd. He cares. He knows you by name. Perhaps you're going through deep waters, troubled times. The Lord knows. He's made provision. Go to the table. Feed at it. Be refreshed. And know the joy of the Lord as our strength. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, this morning, we realize oh too well that lips could never express the wonderful truths that you set forth in your word, that we wayward, wandering, rebellious sheep with the objects of the Good Shepherd's love. And he would love us and give himself for us. And we're so thankful that we are his sheep. And he knows us by name. And he will lose none of his sheep. He will see us home to glory, where we will be forever with the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would take the stammering thoughts and by thy Holy Spirit refresh our hearts and minds with this wonderful truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So we ask thy blessing upon thy word, upon each one present. Lord, we think of any who might be here who are still sheep without a shepherd and without a savior, who do not know the love of the good shepherd. We pray this morning that they might see their need of a savior and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, who gave his life for them. Lord, for thy people, thy sheep, as we pass through this wilderness scene toward home, may we ever be refreshed. May we ever be encouraged. May we ever be strengthened as we are reminded that the Lord, the ever-existent One, the Almighty God, the Savior of our souls, is our living Shepherd who cares and knows and watches. Lord, take this seed and bury it in our hearts, that it might bring forth fruit of encouragement and strength as we pass through this wilderness. And we just give thee our thanks as we pray in the precious name of our Lord and our Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ.